We're live.
We are live. What embargo? Big tuna and yellow snapper. It's beginning of February, the day after the Super Bowl, and we're talking winter and celebratory smokes.
Yep. So before that, let's talk about the Super Bowl. Seth,
let's talk about it. Let's talk.
Are you a dabber?
Do I dab? Yeah, exactly. No, I am a. I am. Well, you know, I'm here in the. I'm here in the Carolinas, which is home of the Panthers, and I'm a Panther fan. I love the Panthers. I'm a Bills fan first, but it's hard not to get excited by their season. I think everybody wanted to dab, but as I was telling you, man, when you see a man like Peyton Manning who might retire, and this is his opportunity to go out at the top, it's hard not to cheer him on. It's hard not to want that man to go.
Yeah, I was telling Seth offline that I was watching the Super Bowl with a couple of buddies that are big Raider fans, and they hate the Broncos. They hate Peyton. I was like, what did the Broncos ever do to Raiders? And I have no freaking clue, but they were like sour faced the whole freaking game. I was like, dude, cheer up, man. Like,
I would love to know what Peyton did to piss off Raiders fans, because it's like
– Well, Raiders fans are angry anyways because – they haven't won since with fucking John
Madden.
So,
dude, I'll tell you. You know what's brutal is I don't know if you watch the NFL awards, which are just kind of, you know, it's no big deal. I ended up watching because I had nothing else going on. Did you hear Conan O'Brien's introduction?
No.
Oh my gosh, man, it's hysterical. He's ripping everybody apart. he's talking about I think the best one. He says, you know, preparing for Super Bowl 50, San Francisco cleared all the homeless people out of the city, so. Basically, they just had to take care of all the Raiders. It was brutal. It was brutal. But, I mean, he made fun of Peyton Manning, too. So.
Well, there's another big population in San Francisco that's not only the homeless, but there's a big gay population there that Conan apparently didn't touch on. So.
No, and you know, but he made fun of Chip Kelly, so I feel bad for San Francisco by getting Chip Kelly. But, you know, it's one of those things I was cheering on Peyton. You know, he didn't have a great game. He played better than Newton. I mean, they both played terrible. Don't get me wrong. They both played terrible. But in the end, Peyton just didn't get killed as much as Cam did.
Yeah. I mean, defense wins games every time.
Dude, Denver's defense was unstoppable.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. Hey,
I mean, Peyton should have just punted it on first down.
Yeah.
Kind of like the – do you remember the 2000 Super Bowl with the Ravens and the Giants?
Yep.
When Ray Lewis was just wrecking people. I mean, this is what it reminded me of.
Yeah. It's crazy, man. Like, even when you see Peyton throw, it's almost like, you know, old Mr. Noodle arm. He'll throw it, and then the receivers are like, all right, okay, here it is.
You know, he doesn't have the arm that he used to, you know, and it's one of those things. Not. But I'll tell you one thing. I watched the game, and there was a couple passes that those receivers just dropped. And it happened to Cam, too. Those players just dropped those damn balls.
Yeah, I agree. I have no doubt that Carolina will be back. I mean, they're a force to be reckoned with, without a freaking doubt. So, you know, if they make some adjustments and get some guys in defense, I mean, they'll be back, man. I mean, Cam is new in his career, and Rivera is just starting to click with his whole team, and they'll be back.
Their star receiver was injured all season. I mean, this is the one thing, and this is something that, you know, I was like, okay, good, they won. Peyton, you know, he's probably going to retire. I hope he retires. My wife asked the question, what if Peyton told you he was coming back this next season? I'd be like, I'd fucking hate him. I'd hate
then
him.
It's like, what?
Dude, it's like, come on, man. We all wanted you to win so you could just retire. And just go out on top, and now you're fucking coming back.
Speaking of which, real quick, you know how he said how after he won it, he was going on the press and saying how he's going to drink a lot of Budweiser. What did he get paid for that, or did that just slip? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about because he said it two times. He made the comment Budweiser. I have no idea what the I've read about it. I haven't heard anything. He said it a third time. He says, I'm going to drink a lot of beer. He doesn't say Budweiser that time. Right. I mean, from what California taxes those players just for playing in the state, might as well take as many endorsements as possible to negate the, you know, maybe he's a Budweiser guy. Who knows?
Right. Where is he from? He's from the Midwest somewhere, I think.
No, he's from Mississippi. He's a good old Mississippi.
Oh, he's a South guy.
He's a Southern guy.
Yeah.
So all I know is it's like, you know, you have to think about, you know, Von Miller was a hell of a game, and he said Miller's picking up the tab. Can you imagine Von Miller and Peyton Manning going out to party? Peyton would have to, like, go, like, turn in for curfew, like, 30 minutes after they go out. So, but it's one of those things.
Don't get on his neck.
Oh, man.
But, yeah. Anyways, let's talk about what we're here to talk about.
Winter and celebratory smokes.
Right. So, before we get in there, let's talk a little bit about recent news out of Cuba related to tobacco. Have you read the recent news about how the crops are just shit and there's too much rain and all that?
I did, and I've heard it from a source in Central America who's a retailer, and also a couple of people in the DR and some European people, that next couple of years of production out of Cuba is going to be absolutely terrible.
Yeah.
So now is the time to buy.
Right. You think, I mean, what's your take? Because I feel like this past year, they said that the crops were not very good, right? I thought I heard something about that. I don't think it was necessarily attributed to the increased amount of rain and the floods and all that, but
yeah, they said that they were struggling with, yeah, I think it was like the best, like this year, last year's crops too. And the weather. I mean, you know, you have to think probably it's going to affect the DR as well to an extent. DR won't say it, but everyone will be like, yeah, I mean, you have Cuba and you have DR. I mean, let's look at a fucking map. They're pretty damn close.
Mm-hmm.
So if something affects Cuba, more than likely it's going to affect DR. I mean, it's all related to the hurricane. That's why they got all that rain.
Yeah.
So everyone is saying, and people in Dominican Republic, and I say this because a couple people in the DR are like, oh, Cuba's – they know me. They said, oh, Cuba's cigars are going to be, you know, pretty shit for the next 2 years because of this, all this rainfall. I said, well, you guys have tobacco lying around for 5 years, so in 7 years your cigars are going to suck too, because that's how long you've been going to be aging the tobacco. Then they got pissed off at me for that. So I wouldn't be surprised if they have the problem too. It's just that they are aging, they can age their tobacco. They have higher quality tobacco to put aside.
Right.
But yeah, so that's the rumor I've heard too. So it's time to stock up.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I mean, Cuba being Cuba, who the hell knows, but I mean,
who knows?
And also,
if you listen to some people out there, supposedly Cuba buys their tobacco from Central America and the islands anyway. So what are you going to do?
Exactly. And I hear like certain quote unquote Costa Rican, you know, cigars or tobacco is really Cuban cigars, right? Like I've heard that whole thing too.
Yeah.
Right. But anyways, one could only speculate.
There's that, and then there's the new Hoya Añados.
Yes. Hoyo, not Hoya.
I know. I call it Hoya. Hoya de Oyo. Hoyo, like Oreo. Yeah. Hoyo. Yeah, the new Hoyo, the number 4.
Thoughts?
I don't know. Well, the Monte Cristo was pretty damn bad, and the Romeo wasn't that great, so maybe it'll be not that great.
Romeo was horrible.
They both were bad, man. It's disappointing.
Well, the Churchills have gotten better since release, the Monte Churchills. But those Romeos, my goodness, they did not taste like they had an age on them at all. They were really strong, edgy, you know, to a certain extent, very metallic notes that I got out of it. So
very, and you know, I looked at them, and I talked about this with Catfish a lot. It was as if they blended them super strong, so that in the years to come, they would be smoking. Our theory was they blended them super strong so that with after all the age, they would be smoking similar to recent production.
Right.
That was our theory. And if that is the case, my question would be, why don't you blend it the way you typically blend it so that they do have that age quality. And I just don't think they've done that. It's one of those things. I feel like they've blended them stronger so that they wouldn't die down, but I don't think they've thought that maybe you blend them the way they are so that in a couple of years, in the 6-8 years, they will be magnificent. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear you. They missed a mark. I mean, I have to say, Ray, I would not – I still hold onto the box that I got because I feel like age will continuously help that cigar.
Did you get a box of the Romeos?
Yeah, I got a box of both. Mm-hmm. But with the Romeos, I felt like because it's still such a – it's a pretty robust, edgy, there's still harshness definitely for sure. Because of all those things, I feel like it will do well with additional time. Whereas the Mani Añejados, those are – I'm smoking all those right now because I really don't see that thing turning another corner getting better. Like I almost feel like they perhaps wait a little too long to release that guy.
Yeah, it's one of those – I have probably around 5 each just in a humidor aging. Sitting aside, I wasn't going to touch it for a couple of years. I love the size of the Monte Cristo. I love that Churchill size. And it's a shame that it doesn't, as I said to Catfish, imagine smoking that and having it smoke like a really great 8-year-old Monte Cristo.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be phenomenal.
Yeah.
It'd be one of the best Churchills.
Yeah.
But it just doesn't. And that's total damn disappointment.
Yeah. I mean, so I guess to that extent, I'm not all that excited about the Hoyo Añejados. I mean, when I see Hoyo in general, and my taste buds always prove me wrong, but when I think Hoyo, I don't think that I want to buy them. But we talked about this on the show before, that when we do smoke, fairly recent production Hoyo, meaning stuff that's within the last 3-4 years ish. We both really enjoy them.
Love them.
Right? The Epicure line, the Deluxe, the LCDH stuff. Even the Double Coronas are great. I mean, for such a big cigar, it keeps your attention the whole time with great flavors. So,
yeah, I don't like the Petit Robustos, but you're dead on with everything else.
Yeah. I totally agree with you on the Petit Robustos. I should sell those. But with the Añejado program, just based upon the Monte Cristo, where I felt like it was kind of on its way down in terms of flavors, and the Romeo, which I feel like it's not yet, it should have had more age on them. I don't know. It's all over the map. Like, especially typically with Habanos, as they comes out with something and it's their quote unquote original release, it's pretty darn good. Right, and that's usually the ones you want to buy, but given their track record of those other two, I don't know, man. I mean, I'll seek out 2 or 3, but I'm in no rush to buy them, and they're not going to be selling hot by any means. Mm. So, no rush at all.
I think most people are probably in the same pool that we are. That the Montes and Romeos are what they are. No one's going to rush to get those Hoyos. Mm-hmm. Which is a shame, and it's a shame that they haven't succeeded with it, because I think it's a really cool, it's a great concept. I just think they failed to deliver it. It was a very non-Cuban approach, and they probably should have had a non-Cuban helping them out with it.
What do you mean by that?
Non-Cubans, non-Cubans, the tobacco's really aged.
Mm-hmm.
They age them for a longer time in the cedar rooms before they release them. Never aged to like this extent of having the cigars rolled and aging. But Cuba's known for it's fairly recent. It's not that mature. Especially when you start talking about your limitadas, which they're like, oh, it's aged 2 years. And you're like, when you smoke non-Cubans and you realize that a lot of your tobacco has already been aged like 5-6 years, you can see the difference. I'm not saying that the non-Cubans are better because of it. I'm just saying there's that balance there. That maybe if they thought about or spoke with some people in Nicaragua or the DR about, okay, you know, this is our concept. Blend it how it is so that it ages longer. You know what I mean? It's like they didn't even take into account the fact that don't blend it to be super strong, blend it to be what it is and let it age.
Right. Yeah. No, I could see definitely validity to what you just said. And in terms of concept, great concept, because, you know, most of us that buy, especially vintage boxes, it's all about your vendor, right? Like, because the big unknown is how was it stored within all those years to, at the mature level is that, right? Exactly. And if you have someone like Habanos SA that comes out with these things, you just put faith that they had it in the right proper environment for it.
Did they? Who knows?
I don't know.
You know, I smoked them.
Yeah, did they? I don't know whether it be a function of the original blend or a function of aging too much. Who knows? I just know that the cigars I tasted were not very good, and that's all I really give a crap to judge is by my taste buds.
Yeah, it's if I could buy a Mani Añado versus a Mani Petit Edmundo, I'm gonna go with a Petit Edmundo.
Exactly.
You know, if I'm gonna buy a Romeo Añado or a Y Churchill, I'll go with a Y Churchill.
All right. Yeah.
And it's probably gonna be the same case with a Hoya.
Yeah.
So, but they're special and that's what those are. And, you know, it is what it is. It's
by the way, I'm not happy with this hard to find shit. Like, it annoys me, man. Like, I think about all the cigars that I'm really amped to buy this year. That's rolling out.
Yeah.
It's all with the freaking red band on it. You know, the RE band on it, or it's got some fancy schmancy anniversary band on it.
Got me that double band, bro.
Right. Like it's, and that's exactly what Habanos SA was. It's what's the focus on buying up that kind of stock. So,
you smoked a Bushido, right?
Not yet. I'm still, I got a box of those. And I wanted to give it a couple more weeks on it because they travel for like a good a month or so.
Yeah.
So I want to give it some good time on it. So, yeah, maybe that's something that we throw a review up on for. So,
I mean, it's, you know, in when it comes down to, I just did an order where I just got some HM and number twos, some Ramon Ayones Small Club Coronas at a great price. Those were on iHavanas for like $90 a box or something. Maybe it was $99 a box.
Yeah, they just came up. They just had put up their February specials, I think. So,
yeah, it's Valentine's Day. Treat yourself. And you're like,
skip the roses.
Yes, skip the roses. You don't need no roses. we chase down the double bands, and more often than not, I find comfort in the regular production.
I do too, way more often than not, because, like, let me give you an example. This past weekend, Super Bowl weekend, had a good amount of double bands, right? So, let me look through what the hell I smoked. I smoked way too many freaking cigars this past weekend. No such thing, right? But I smoked a lot.
Super Bowl Sunday, you got to smoke the best stuff. I smoked Honeyberry Backwoods all damn day.
Right on. I smoked some Camel Crushers. It was delicious. The first one I had was golfing on Saturday and had the 98 Punch SS number two. Delicious.
I still have that. I need to smoke that.
Yeah. Delicious freaking cigar. This is the only regional that within all the other ones that I smoked that I thought was worth it. My buddy and I, we smoked the Bolivar Regional Canada Simones.
Is that the 07? The Simone?
Yeah.
Simon? That's a faint. It's a little like Robusta, right? Hermoso number four?
Yeah. What?
That is a fantastic smoke.
It's incredible. And it was incredible when it first came out, and it is even better now.
It says almost as if Simon Bolivar was butt fucking you when you smoked that. Yeah. That's how good it was.
Totally.
Sorry, it sounds like 901 talking.
Yeah, I want to. I should have swallowed some of that smoke, if you know what I mean.
Say what?
Oh, October 09. But so that was incredible, and it sucks because those boxes are selling for like damn near $700 a box now, even more.
That's the Canadian, so I mean they just jack up the damn price.
Yeah, but supposedly with these guys, there was some like fire or some water damage to some warehouse in Canada, and then it wiped out a lot of the stock. So now this is back in the day when it came out.
No, here's my theory on this one. This is my theory on Canadian regional digitals and cigars in Canada on their tobacco tax. And if anyone's Canadian watching this, you can either argue with me on this or agree with you on this.
They're nice people.
Canadians are lovely people. I grew up next to them. But if you pay attention on, like, if you're watching hockey, especially when you're watching, like, Hockey Night in Canada, the games. I have the NHL package, so I watch all the hockey games. You always hear about, oh, you know, the Canadian government will pay for your hockey equipment because they want everybody playing hockey because it's all they got, that and curling and beaver tails. So I swear to God, there's a connection. I think they have the tobacco tax to pay for hockey equipment.
Why not?
Why not? I swear. I think there's a connection. Well, it's – what else are you going to do?
No.
At least
I do wonder how many Habano smokers out there in Canada. There's got to be a decent amount because pretty much every year there's a regional that goes over there, at least one.
You know, I've been to Toronto and Ottawa and Montreal, and the biggest collection of Habano smokers I ever found was in Montreal. I didn't find tons in Ottawa, but Montreal, when you know, went to the LCDH, there was a good collection of Habano smokers there, which is a great La Casa de Habano. But yeah, I mean, it's – I don't know. Could we have to speak to some Canadians.
Yeah. Yeah.
Up to Manitoba.
Yeah. And then I had a Reina Mundo, the 20th anniversary one that came for Asia Pacific. Not as good as I remember.
That's like the 2011 or 12, right?
Yeah, 12, I think. Or was it 11 or 12? It's one of those.
It got a lot better, though.
You know what? Whether it be my palate was going, whether it been my Moscow mules I was drinking, I thought it was really light, way too light.
It's very light. I think that's El Rey del Mundo for me, though. That's
– No, not all of it. Like, the Infantes are really full-flavored, meaning – I know Dustin hates that term, but very distinct and full-bodied smoke, right? Like, easily
– Yeah.
Able to depict flavors out of it instead of like searching for the quote unquote nuances and complexities, right?
I've never been able to get better behind the brand.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I do like the brand. I'm coming around on the brand because still to this day, my favorite cigar that I ever smoked is the best bar none is that 2001 Rey del Mundo Taínos, right? So,
I have learned not to speak poorly of the brand because El Rey del Mundo fans pop out of the woodwork and start attacking you. I mean, they are like intense. Those guys are covert, zero dark 30 motherfuckers. Like you speak one negative word and they just pop up. Like Kate Orsay, you can bash it all day. No one's going to fucking say anything. But El Rey del Mundo, you say one thing negative on the internet, shit.
Yeah.
You just got like hacked and your credit cards got stolen, something.
Dude, speaking of Rey del Mundo, the Petit Robustos, the Spain regionals, I think they made like 7,500 boxes of 10. And still, it's hard to get them. Like, once that one comes out, it just gets nabbed like crazy. Bullshit. Like, and they make 7,500 fucking boxes.
Spain is crazy with their regional editions, man. Those guys go to the works.
Yeah,
and I'm gonna be there in June.
Nice.
I'm gonna be in May.
And, for what? For like a secret project or something?
Yeah, I'm walking the El Camino de Santiago.
Oh.
So I'm gonna walk that, and I'm gonna find my way.
Nice.
I'm gonna find my way to get some regionals in España.
Yeah, do it, man. Find them all. Find those old school boulevards. Find those Por Larenagas and Legendarios and all that shit, man. And then last but not least, I had another boulevard from 09, but this time it was the Benelux, the Fabulosos, I think it's called.
Which one okay. is that? Oh,
Bully.
Yeah, I think I've had that one.
Yeah,
I think I had those.
It's all right, but I think my palate probably maybe went off a little bit after drinking all day and eating smoked meat. So.
Yeah, it's probably gonna kill you. So, what type of vodka do you use your Moscow Mules?
Cheap shit. Kirkland vodka. Kirkland vodka, good stuff.
Kirkland vodka.
Kirkland vodka is good, man. No, what do you?
I have no idea. I don't, man. I haven't had a Moscow Mule in forever. I think I usually just buy Smirnoff.
Oh, okay. Because I thought you were gonna go fancy on me, get some Grey Goose Frenchie to come pour for you,
man. And I'll sit in that kid. I had one of those. Remember, you know those really tall bottles of Grey Goose?
Yeah, back in the day. That was a gym back in the day, man.
Legit. So let me tell this is back in the day story. I'm going to tell a nasty Grey Goose story. So it was homecoming. I was at college. And I was eating – my school had these like buffalo chicken wraps, which were legit.
Sounds good.
So I had one for lunch. Yeah, I had one for lunch. I had one for dinner. And then after dinner, hit the fucking Grey Goose bottle, man. And, of course, you know, for a while there, I was mixing Grey Goose and Red Bull. So you're like, oh, gosh, what are you doing?
Oh, man.
Either way, I drank the whole bottle, that whole big bottle of Grey Goose.
Seriously?
Seriously. I was gone. God. I remember.
That's like going to the hospital, like getting stomach pump kind of stuff, man.
It was like you're drinking, having a good time, playing Halo 2, then it turns black. Then you're fucking a black girl, then it turns black. Then you're walking, then it turns black. Then you're somewhere, then it turns black. Either way, I'm walking along the sidewalk. One of my buds is like, yo, Seth. And I like turn my head really fast. And at that moment, projectile vomit.
Oh.
And he said it's like this orange fireball just flying out. And he says that thing went for like 12 feet. I mean, that's probably a little drastic. All I know is that I was in the shower of a sorority house because I was struggling. Nice. But yeah, that's my story with the big Grey Goose bottle.
Good times.
So you were having – anyways, you were having good cigars on Super Bowl weekend.
Yeah, but that's it.
You were in the Super Bowl capital too.
Yeah, I was. I live in the Bay Area for those of you guys that don't know me. And of course, most people know that the Super Bowl is played at Levi's Stadium, which is not in San Francisco. It's in Santa Clara, which is like 4 hours traffic. Yeah, 40 minutes south of San Francisco. So it was cool, man. The whole last week, seeing a bunch of Super Bowl fans come in, super nice fans, Panther fans and Bronco fans alike, really diehard fans, of course. I mean, you got to be to fly over here and pay, you know, an ass amount of money to go to the game. And then when you get into the game, you buy a freaking 12-ounce Budweiser and they charge you $13 for it.
Not Peyton Manning, though. Peyton Manning got them for free.
Peyton Manning's getting Budweiser for free for the rest of his life.
In Disney World, sipping on Budweisers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was good. Yeah, it was good. But the whole lot of me talking about the regional stuff was how most of it was just not that good. I probably could have lit up a Bully Royal Coronas from my 12 stock and be more happy.
That's, man, I'll tell you one thing. Yeah, this weekend I smoked some 05 a Chapman Magnum 46s, a couple 08s. I smoked some Bully Royal Coronas from 08, smoked a Boulevard Bellicose Finos. I just stuck to some classics and had a great time.
Yeah.
Preparing for the Super Bowl. But yeah. In talking about preparing for the Super Bowl, it is time to talk about celebratory cigars.
Yes, sir.
Whether your team won, let's say your team won, anything celebratory. Not only what are you going for, but what do you look for? Yellow snapper, what size? Anything in particular?
Size, I'm going for Sublime Plus.
Nice.
Meaning something that would take me a good hour, 45 minutes to 2 hours to slowly draw and enjoy, being out of the wind. You know, since it's winter, being under some good heater. Well, not for us. It was like 70 degrees yesterday. But
yeah, you guys were fine.
Yeah, but yeah, something that's like it's got that, 52 to 56 up to ring gauge, six inch, and something in the double chrono realm will be amazing as well. And if I'm not, and the thing is, celebratory cigar, you have to know that it's good, meaning preferably for me, I've smoked it already, so I know it's going to be delicious.
You got to go in with a tested rifle, man. You got to go into combat with a tested rifle. That's the way to do it.
So, given that, by the way, I didn't really give a crap who won yesterday. I for one am happy that the sheriff, who's a good guy, in a sense of I've never heard of anything on the news of him being malicious. So I'm glad that he basically is going to ride off to the sunset with a ring.
I hope he does. Yeah. If he goes someplace else, come on, man.
He goes someplace else or comes back in general. Like, it's like, dude, what the fuck are you doing? Like, do you want to make a few more million and buy that vacation home in Hawaii? Like, get the hell out of here.
Can you imagine him as like an offensive coordinator with like the Patriots?
Yeah.
I wonder what that would happen. I don't think Tom or Bill needs them, but I wonder what that would do.
Yeah. I think he will lose a ton of respect. Of course, he will lose a ton of respect if he were to come back. People would be like, dude, what the hell? Like, you're like a what's that? I don't know why I'm thinking about this. This is no relevance to rap, but it's that one rapper that always comes back.
You're not talking about like the dead guy, like Tupac.
No,
he's got like albums that keep on coming back.
Oh shit, what's his name? He always come back and be like, "It's blah blah blah, it's album number 9," and then like my last album number 9, and then we'll come back like a year later and be like, "It's my last album number 10." Anyways, I can't think of his name, but it's like that in a weird retarded manner.
So. In a weird retarded manner.
Yeah. But anyways, going back to the celebratory cigar. So let's talk about, given that range, what I would light up. I think Cohiba Sigil 6.
Excellent choice.
Yeah. And I wouldn't even put Esplendido on that scale because I've had some misses on SBs, and I've rarely, if ever, had a miss on Sigil 6s.
It's inconsistent. The Esplendido is just too inconsistent to go with.
Agree. And I will especially say Sigil 6s because recent production has been pretty damn good. I have some 12 boxes that's still fantastic. And as long as you're able to fork up that kind of a coin, I would say pretty fairly obtainable.
Yeah.
Right? So and if I really want to go balls out, I would do Cohiba Edition Limitada 2006, which are smoking great right now. And I would light up I have two Cohiba Sublimes. I will light up one of them because I had the other one. But then again, who knows, right? But I do know I still would pick the 6 over those two because I know it's going to be good.
Yeah.
What else? So stepping outside of the Cohiba realm, Edmundo Dante Conde 54.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Enough said. If you guys haven't seen that, Seth has a review about that is it on a Sig Fed somewhere?
No, it's on Habano's Critic. Yeah, that's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. And something, I mean, that's less easily obtainable. As a matter of fact, those are all dried up, they're gone, but you guys can get the next rendition of the Mundo Dante that's coming out. I think that's going to be a torpedo of some sort, right?
A hand shot. Yeah. That's the word on the street.
Yeah, supposedly this year released, but, you know, Cuba being Cuba, it's probably not going to be another year and a half. So, Kanye, something going back to something more readily available. Kanye's been fantastic and firing on all cylinders.
That's an interesting choice. I mean, I want to go with it, but it's an interesting choice. It's a good one.
Yeah. You know, I think about some other bigger marcas like Monte Cristo. Monte Cristo, I wouldn't touch any of the LEs because the Sublimes are fading.
Yeah, the 08s have lost. A couple years ago, I'd say yes. 08, yes.
Yeah. Speaking of which, if you guys ever – those Sublimes, when they do come out and sell, they're still hiking up to, like, bullshit, 40, 45 bucks a stick. So save your money. Put your stock, I will say, in Granite Mundos and 520s. So 520s recently are turning around and pleasantly surprised by it. So,
yeah, the Granite Mundos were good. Sublimes were fantastic. And then they kind of went downhill. But it happens.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think I will pick any Partagas.
Maybe the Lusitanias, if it's a good 08 one.
Yeah, there you go. And then Punch, I'll pick a really nice aged vintage double Corona. Though some of those, like, I've had this one that was like I think it was either a 99 or 98. My goodness, it was still full of flavors and still – one of those where you got up, you're like, oh, yep, I had a cigar. I feel the nicotine, you know, and it's that thing's straight up vintage. So if you really want to ball it out, I had a couple of those Ramon Hunters and Francal, was it 225th anniversary ones?
Oh, damn, did you? How are those? Good? Damn
those good. Are really good. I've never tasted a Ramon like a stewed fruit, stone fruit sort of a character that I have in that cigar. It's almost like, to a certain extent, it's almost like you take a cigar out of your mouth and you draw it. You're like, wow, I can't. I was like, this is just pure, like, ripe stone fruit. Like, this is amazing.
That's when you know the brand's great, man, because it does it when it's great.
San Cristobal Morella, if you have one that's not rolled too tight in the head, they're fantastic. And then you can't give up Vegas Ravina. You got to give it up to the grandfather, you know, Cuban tobacco. So
Don Alejandro.
Don Alejandro, without a doubt, Don Alejandro. And some of the Canadian releases for Ravina is pretty darn good too. They're not ready yet. And namely, when I'm talking about that, I'm mainly speaking of the 15th Anniversario.
Yeah.
And I'm also speaking of the Petite Robina. Both are
for Canada.
Yeah.
Oh, that was good ones.
Yeah, those are really good. They still got plenty of legs, I feel like. I mean, I lit up one of those Petite Robinas like what, 3 months ago or so, and they got strong tobacco in that thing, so. Quite a good amount of Lajero in that thing or something in there. So, I mean, I know I kind of went through the gamut of different markets, but those are my picks.
That's a good picks, man.
Yeah.
Those are solid pick. I mean, you're right. Any Edmundo Dantes, if you got them, great celebratory cigar. Can't go wrong with it.
Yeah.
I think most double Coronas, if you have – what I'd say is the double Coronas that come to mind for me, like an older Ramon Ayones Gigantes.
Mm-hmm.
Punch double Corona doesn't get enough attention. That's a fantastic double Corona.
Yeah, pretty much every double Corona out there, honestly, that Cuba makes, you find good ones.
San Luis Rey is a little inconsistent.
Yeah, true. Yeah,
you know that's I'm kind of like focusing on regular production. H. Chapman Sir Winston's.
Yes. Oh, how could you forget? Man, how could we forget about that?
Spectacular.
Yeah. So, fantastic. Absolutely great.
Yeah. Grandin Mundos, to me, looking at that, those are still just spectacular. I'll tell you one thing. I wish if – and you haven't smoked it yet. That Monte Cristo 80th. Mm. Oh, my gosh. That would be a fantastic one. You know, I'd say
– I'm eagerly waiting for that guy, man. It's just like – I know they popped up in apparently Portugal like a month or so ago.
They pop up, then they're gone, uh-huh. and they pop up again. It's
– yeah.
Years ago, I'd say the Monte 08's Blue Maze. Nothing now.
Yeah.
It's, you know, here's something I smoke. This is something that's totally, it's got age, special. It's special, but it's, who cares? I smoked a St. Louis Ray, Serie A, 2006, before they put the bans on those Corona Gordos.
Oh.
I smoked one of those last night. Wow.
Yeah.
Brings a whole new meaning to St. Louis Ray.
You know, if you get a good St. Louis Ray, it's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I remember right, some of the Regios that I've had, some of the Serie A I've had too, nothing as old as what you had, because all the ones that I had, you know, were banned in.
Yeah.
But man, I get so much just like graham cracker, like bready note to those. It's fantastic. Like, and then I have some 09. I actually got a 50 cab of the 09 Double Corona St. Louis Rays. And if I get a good one, which is, I mean, my hit rate on those is probably 50%.
Man, that's better than me. But I'll tell you one thing. If you get a good one of those St. Louis Ray Double Coronas, it's hard to beat.
Yeah.
But it's hard to get that level. It's hard it to is. Get it. But when you get
most of them, it's like right when I light it up, right? Like if it's not a good one, if it's not a really good one of those, it's not like, I'm not saying it's bad, right? Like it's smokable. It's not off-putting by any means. But because it's such a big cigar and it's such a commitment, you're like, eh, this is not a fantastic one. You know off the bat when you light it up, you know?
You know when you get it. You know, right. And this is my experience. And This is up there with the Esplendidos, and it's a bit of a risk taker, but if you get it, a Cohiba Robusto.
Yes.
If you get it,
if you know, you got well, it, boom. Yeah. So let's talk about that real quick. I remember, and these are still out there. So there is a Robusto sampler that Habano's SA came out with.
Yeah.
Which one is that called? There's a name that they call that thing, but
comes in a fancy box. They got the Bolivar Oyo.
Yeah,
Hoyo,
you know, it's a box and it's slitted, and it has one of like Cohiba one and Monte and Mundo, and you know, et cetera, et cetera. But
it's got a glass top. I'm just kidding. Yeah.
it's got some pubic hair in the blood, you know. But they have. So these are still out there, because, you know, as expected, not many people buy this pack, but, they have some, and I had one from, I want to say 2004, and with the, in which all the cigars in there, of course, is from 04. And I remember smoking that Robusto, Cohiba Robusto, man, it was sublime. It was absolutely amazing. I mean, that itself, I was like, I need to chase after this. And the chase has been more disappointing than not so far within just smoking other Cohiba Robustos. And like you said, you got to get a good one. They're out there, but you got to let time do its thing with Cohiba. So
it does.
Yeah.
Let time be. So whenever it comes to celebratory, I usually look for a Churchill Double Corona, maybe that sublime size, something big. You know, you're sitting out there, you're relaxing, you got a really good beverage with you.
Yep.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah, no doubt.
But it's hard this time of the year with the – oh, yeah.
Yeah. What were you saying? You kind of cut out for a little bit.
I said, but it's hard this time of the year with the weather being what it is, and that's why winter smokes.
Right.
Not for you with your 70-degree temperature.
Well, that was abnormal for sure. I mean, it was great for the Super Bowl fans and the Bay Area in general, but that was some fluke. But I'm not having weather like you are, of course. But that's why you have a freaking garage and a heater. So
exactly, man. That's why I'm gonna get.
Yeah. So let's transitioning on to the next part of the segment, which is the winter smokes. So, so Seth, what do you think about winter smokes, and which ones would you go after?
You know, for a long time, winter smokes were my obviously winter smokes. But as I've grown older, I've gotten to the point of, man, these are just great cigars all the time that I typically only take advantage of during the winter time. But I found that in the summer, they're just as enjoyable. And I'm looking for short smokes that are easy. If you don't finish it, but it's just not going to consume that much time. So, you know, it's like little half Coronas, you know, really short Robustos, anything along those lines. Mm-hmm. And the ones that for me that really stick out, Por La Narga Petite Coronas.
Oh, interesting.
With some age on them. Mm-hmm. H. Upman half Coronas.
Yes. Hands down agree with that one.
Fantastic. Another one with age is a Bali Petite Corona or a Corona Junior.
Yep, for sure.
Partagas D5. It's a little bit bigger, but it gets down in that area.
It's also a little bit more expensive.
And San Cristobal Principe.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's probably my number one right there.
Those are, to me, those are winter smokes. It's one of those, it's not like I'm feeling it, but it's like, I want to enjoy a cigar. I just don't want to go out there and freeze my ass off or anything like those. Those are what I stick to.
Yeah. Yep. Agree. Except for the PLPCs. This is one of the first cigar box I ever bought. It was a box of 2011, the Por La Narga Petite Coronas. And granted, I haven't revisited them in probably 4 years. But when I first got them and I had them, dude, the plug rate on that was horrendous. So
I've never had that problem, but you know, but it's, I have heard people who have, but I'll tell you one thing. If you are, it's a great price for the cab of 50. So I typically, you know, I have, I think I have an 07, which I have never touched. It's just sitting there. But I have a recent production, which is like 13, which I was like, I'm just going to dig into it. And it's smoking fantastic. It's got that shitty, Por La Narga band on it, which makes it even more legit.
I love that though, man. It's great.
That's the way it's meant. I just love the flavors that come out of that brand, especially with the Petite Corona. Just floral and just complex. And I know some people love it. Some people just hate it, but that's a great winter smoke for me.
Yeah, definitely. I would also put on there, so, I mean, this is definitely pricier because you're getting into Cohiba territory, but Siglo ones are good. Siglo ones, I have some 12s that are smoking really great. I had some 14s like 3-4 months ago. They still had a young tobacco bite to them, but the core flavors are still there. But then again, you know, mostly if I think about any Cohiba, it's not something that I would be okay with pitching, you know, if I really did freeze my ass off and right. So, but
always back.
But it is a short smoke. That is
enjoyable. Yeah. Siglo ones, you know, I like Siglo ones, and you know, you're right, it does need a little age, but I'm gonna be honest. There's something fun, and I may piss off some people about this. There's something fun and entertaining about smoking a young Cohiba.
Yeah, how are you gonna know unless if you smoke it and you gauge it?
I mean, it's just, you know, you can smoke it, you're like, man, yeah, I can see this at Cohiba, I can see it's gonna be great, but man, there's a little bit of rawness to this youth. Mm-hmm. Feel like a bad boy smoking it. I should just be more mature and let it aside. But that's just the beauty of Cohiba.
Right.
I love smoking young, being bad boy.
I mean, mm-hmm. I mean, granted, there's some boxes out there where I just don't touch after I get them. But I actually, when I could get to them, I really enjoy getting just proper humidity time to just, you know, acclimate back from the shipment and lining that up. Or else you seriously would have no idea doing it. And I don't care what brand you're talking about. You should do it.
Yeah, smoke them.
Right.
See how they are.
Yeah.
So, have some fun with it.
And especially the fact that within recent production, you know, within the last, I would say, three years or so, that recent production has been pretty good. So.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I agree with you 110% that they have been on the money for the youth that they have with them.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel about Monty number fours? I think I read somewhere that Monty number fours are the top selling cigars in, I think either Spain or all of Europe. So,
yeah, Monty number fours, I've never really gone behind. I know it's a classic. I know it's like the most popular worldwide cigar, something like that.
Yeah.
But it's just, I've never really been able to get behind it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've had some duds. I've had mainly duds on those, and at the same rate, I've talked to, you know, folks on the forums and saying that it's the best, you know, slender cigar that they've had. And I don't get it. I just haven't had that. And I will probably say that with most Monte Cristos. This is just an inconsistency due to its popularity.
I think the best slim stuff they ever did was the Cana series for Partagas.
Mm. Yes. I just had one of those actually over the weekend.
I know you said you had one a little while ago. So yeah. Trinidad Reyes is another really good one that was some age. Those Reyes are phenomenal. If you're a big fan of the Trinidad brand and you haven't, well, if you're a big fan of the Trinidad brand, you've probably smoked a Reyes. But if you're not, buy a box of them and age them. You will not be disappointed. And if you are, contact me so I can make fun of you and then buy them from you probably.
Yeah. At original cost. And then this is something that I don't know if you mentioned this, but I know you said that you just bought this, Ramon's Small Club Coronas.
Yeah, you know, I've never smoked a lot of them. It's just when you have like the Specialty Select and the Gigantes, you kind of just kind of forget about it, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I've just never really looked at it as being one of my smaller inventory. But it's good. The ones I've had have been really good. So I'm going to, you know, got to turn to it.
Yeah, sure. You know what's interesting? I was just looking through the brand listings out there. Vegas Rabina, nothing in the slender size.
No, man, it's pretty just solid as being it is what it is.
Yeah.
I
hit that up if I had. Oh, wait. They had a regional one. I think the Andorra one is like.
Oh, that's tiny.
Yeah.
That's a petite Corona kind of a size.
Oh, it's a petite Robusto is what they call it. 4x50. I don't know. I could still stretch it out to be like 50 minutes.
You know, anything to me, I think you got to be. Typically, I'd say you have to be under 50. I know the D5, I think it's 50. I think it's like
Shit, my bad. The one that I just talked about is a French regional, but the actual regional for Robina that I was talking about, the Andorra one, is a Menudo, i.e. Petite Corona.
Yeah, that's what, yeah. So
yeah, there you go.
French regionals, jeez. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, in this order, the Andorra, you got to know somebody that's going there to freaking mule it for you, right? So,
Well, they get them in Spain. I mean, it's right off of Spain.
It is, but
– So you can get them in Spain pretty easily, I think. You can go from the Spaniards.
Yeah. But, again, within this regional crap, right? Like, why can't they
– nowadays, all the retailers are just – shipping them to one another, they're exchanging half their stock for the other person's half of stock.
Yeah, true.
But, so,
and then it's a regional brand, which means extra money.
Got to throw that red and silver on there.
Yeah. here's a question for you. So to kind of recap what we just said, I think we basically give the head nod to all the brands, but surprisingly, except for Monte Cristo.
Right? You know, let's put it this way. I look at it like this. You know, Monte number twos is the most famous Monte Cristo, without a doubt. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to a Pyramide or a number two, I don't know about you, but I'm going to go for an H. Upman. Or, I'm going to go another direction. I'm not going to go with a Monte Cristo.
No. I hate it. As a matter of fact, I've probably had 10, 15 Monte twos in my life so far. None of them has been the so-claimed milk chocolate bomb that I hear about when you get a good Monte or whatever the fuck that means. And I don't care. I don't want to search for it because I know that I could get what you're saying about a Upman number two or Bolivar Bellicoso Finos, and I could get that 90% hit rate on those, and I'll be plenty happy.
Oh yeah.
So
yeah, it's the only Monte that I typically I know a lot of guys are big Monte Edmundo fans. To me, the Edmundo is too light. It doesn't have. It's got some good flavors, but it's not really that mind-blowing. And then the double Edmundo is basically just a double Edmundo. It's really, to me, it's not that spectacular. Right. But the Petit Edmundo, I feel, has a little bit more oomph to it. I think there's something present with the Petit Edmundo, which separates it from a lot of the other Monte Cristos. Yeah.
And I love that. I love that cigar.
Yeah. Exactly. And I think there's guys who really love the Petit Edmundo who just don't really ever care about the other Monte Cristos. And I know some really big Monte fans. I have a buddy who's a huge Edmundo fan who hates the Petit Edmundos. He's like, no, it's too much. I'm like, see, I think the Edmundo's too little.
That's a good point you bring up, Seth, because I was going to ask you, do you think that's a function of us enjoying some of the non-Cuban cigars out there, especially out of Aganorsa, and just in general reviewing and smoking non-Cubans and running the gamut of what's going on in the non-Cuban market?
I think that there's part of that. I think that there's just a little bit more, I don't know, to me there's a little bit more flavor, there's more body, which I think the American market kind of tends to gravitate towards anyways. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a part of it. You know, it's the other day I was smoking that Bolivar Corona Gigantes. I had two of them. So I smoked a Bolivar Corona Gigantes one night. Then the next night I smoked that El Wawense Churchill. Different sizes, but it's even a Bolivar compared with the El Wawense was not as full in the body, not as – I wouldn't say they were both flavorful, but just very different levels. El Wawense had more flavor and body than the Bolivar did. It made the Bolivar seem milder.
Way milder. Not even comparable,
way milder. When you think of Bolivar, you think, okay, it's got some body behind it. Mm-hmm. And then when I smoked them one after another, it was just night and day. And it's funny because when you think of El Wawense, I mean, especially, if it's been dry boxed a little bit and it's been sitting a little bit, it's still not as full bodied as a lot of other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the Petit Edmundo, I think they threw something. I've always been told that it's a different blend than the actual Edmundo.
I could taste it.
And it's fuller. I even think James Suck years ago said that the Petit Edmundo is actually fuller and it's a different blend than the Edmundo.
My taste buds agree with that.
Yeah, and I just think it's, to me, that's why I think it's better.
Yeah.
But maybe that's why it does better in some markets versus other markets.
Yeah, that's a good comparison, dude. I got to do that one of these days. Pick up Cuba's quote-unquote strongest offering of a, let's say, Bolivar, Bellicoso Finos or Royal Corona, and then right after that, I'll smoke a Oye Wawense, or I'll smoke one of Kyle's cigars, one of the Warp cigars. And I'm curious, back to back on a fresh palate, of course, how I'll feel about that. My guess is I will think the non-Cuban counterpart will be just blown out of water in terms of just body, let's just say, for now.
It's true. Now, and you know, another – even, like, here's another good one. It's, like, Dion's Epernay.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if – I mean, even an Epernay, body and flavor is much more than a Cuban. And it's still milder in body and strength to a lot of non-Cubans. And it's one of those – my favorite Epernay is the Le Maton, which is, like, that box press – Corona Gigantes, that Churchill kind of a size, which is my favorite size.
Yeah.
And when you smoke that versus even, you know, a majority of the, you know, Boulevard Corona Gigantes or even like a Ramon Iones, it still, to me, has a little bit more body to it. It's just, there's also that sweetness from the Jalapa and Aganor's tobacco, which just makes it a more pronounced flavor profile, really makes it stick out. Which is fun. Yes. So it's my always thing is just smoke like a Partagas, Ramon Iones and a Bolivar, and then smoke a non-Cuban, you know, Aganorsa, whether it be like a Warped or Elwa Wense or a Dion or even a Cas Fernandez stuff. Mm-hmm. And there you go from there.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great, you talk about, like a nice, you know, 3-4 course dinner, right? And the progression you go through, that's a perfect progression to get through to end a great day. So.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, it's funny, though, because it's like, you know, if you think about it, it's like when I was at Cigar Safari in Nicaragua, you know, you're drinking that Nicaraguan coffee in the morning. I was like the first one up at the pool drinking Nicaraguan coffee, smoking Liga number 9s.
Nice.
And you just begin your day full tilt.
Oh, I love it.
And that's the way to do it. And I know I sent you like a whole handle non-Cubans.
Yeah, you sent me a ton of crazy, like hard to find looking, like ridiculous stuff, man. I don't even know half the stuff you sent me.
Oh yeah. And to me, like that's some really good non-Cuban stuff, which is just like no one probably cares about. But no one, that's, I'm on a total different level than a lot of the other non-Cuban stuff. So I'm interested to hear your feedback on that stuff.
Yeah, definitely. I know we're going a little over, but I did want to ask you this. I've been thinking about within the, you know, shorter smoke segment. What about cigarillos?
I don't go down that road.
I don't either.
I just
like, why don't I? Why don't we?
I have no, you know, this is when I was on my honeymoon in Antigua. We had a driver whose name was Sylvester, and he was like this big black guy. I mean, this guy was awesome, and we basically kind of, I don't know. I feel like I reserved him for the whole week, and he just drove us around the whole friggin' island whenever we wanted to go anywhere. He smoked those Cohiba cigarillos.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it basically, like, first of all, he was awesome. He was taking us to like these really good, like, he took us to a really good restaurant. He was taking us to places just, you know, that we really wanted to go. And he thought that we should really go to. But he smoked those Cohiba cigarillos. So I was at in the duty free, the harbor basically area, and I bought like one of those cans of the Cohiba cigarillos. Mm-hmm. And basically in the car ride, he and I were just smoking Cohiba cigarillos the entire time. It's been years, I don't really remember. Because you know, my wife's like, oh, I want something really light. I was like, oh, we'll pick you up some of those Monte Cristo opens.
Oh yeah.
So she smoked one. She's like, this is fuck. I can't taste anything on this shit. I said, I was like, I told you. I was like, fucking toss that. So then I think she was smoking, you know, probably some like H Upmans or something like that. Either way. But, you know, it was fun. They're not spectacular, the Cohiba cigarettes. I just remember it was good company. So we were having a really good time. But I never really was like, oh, fuck it. Let's smoke some cigarillos.
Yeah. At one point, Dustin and I, Catfish and I, talked about, you know, getting some, and just to try it out. We're like, you know, you run through the gamut of all the, you know, different Vitolas, and you get down to the bottom. Usually it's like where the Pinatellas and, you know, Cigarellos are represented in a chart.
You're like, it's the true commitment of, can you smoke all the offerings and the brands? Catfish was picking up Cigarellos left and right of all the brands. And I was like, you're crazy, man. But he's like,
why not? It's cheap. And it's, yeah. And I think, I forget what he said. I remember, this is a long time ago. This is probably like 3-4 years ago when I asked him about it. But do they even box code those? I don't even know if they box code.
I have no idea. I doubt it. Well, you know what? Probably not.
Yeah, probably not. I mean, they sure think there's a pay in it. But,
but anyway, it's one of those things, yeah, man. So I remember.
I love to try it. But that's a pretty lame order. Be like, oh, can I get a carton of the Cohiba ones and Monte Cristo ones?
What's funny is, and I remember this from being in Belgium, is that they sold the Cigarellos of like the Cohiba with the cigarettes. I think.
Oh.
I'm trying to. I may be wrong. I remember walking through the duty free, and you have like the cigarettes, and then you have like the scotch and the whiskeys, and you have the wine and the chocolates. And I remember seeing some like Cohiba Cigarellos with the cigarettes. I may be completely incorrect on all that, but we'll have to figure it out. Yeah.
Very interesting. Anyways, that's all I had.
That's all I had, man. Good times. So that was What Embargo, our celebratory and winter smokes and so much more. And congrats to Pagan if he retires. And if not, you're an asshole.
And then with Cam, we'll see you back.
He's going to be back. Man, he got bombarded in that after that press conference. I feel bad.
Dude, by the way, no, he did, but.
You're MVP. Show some class.
Exactly. Be a gentleman, right?
You know, in Cam's defense, I watched that game. And when those 11 guys went out there on offense, it was only him out there.
Yep.
I mean, he should have just passed it to himself somehow, blocked for himself somehow, and run with it.
Yeah, I mean, he did try that, but you could only do so much of that, you know?
Von Miller. He did. I mean, he did. He was just getting killed. And
Getting killed. Like, his line wasn't showing up. I mean, when he did get, pocket time, all his receivers are jammed up, you know? And then when he use his legs, it worked. But you could only make that work a few times. And then that last play, what is it? The one where at the end of the game, pretty much.
Oh, where he fumbled it? Where he fumbled it?
Yeah. Yeah. Right? Like, that was just, you know, there was that. But.
It's easy to look at it and you're like, why the hell didn't he jump on it? They're like, oh, Russell Wilson would have jumped on it. And it's just, you know. Hey,
you got to think about your career.
Would Tom Brady have jumped on it? No.
No. Fuck no.
Would Peyton Manning have jumped on it? No. Would Aaron Rodgers have jumped on it? Probably not.
No.
Because if he did and he got hurt, you know, the whole team would be like, why the fuck did the quarterback jump on that damn ball? He was told to get the hell out of there.
And you know what? Underneath those dog piles, they do whatever they got to do to get the ball. I mean,
I play. Oh, they'll eye poke you. They'll give you a little pickle tickle. I mean, they'll do anything.
And like back into my, I played football for like 2 years during like junior year and high schoolish time frame. And when I got underneath one of those dog piles, and I got kicked by metal cleats, I got fucking tickled, you know, like all sorts of stuff. Anything happens. So somebody started punching him, choco shoot.
Oh, dude, I was the kicker my senior year, and I got a bad snap one time, and I jumped on the ball, and people, you know, jumped on me. And people were frigging, you know, some of the guys were, like, poking me in the eye and, like, hitting my nose.
Yeah.
And I remember my first reaction was – and all I did was kick. That's all I did. So I was – people were jumping on top of me, and people were, you know, they were fucking poking and hitting me. I was like, dude, I'm the fucking kicker. Like, seriously? Like, what the fuck? Like, what are you doing to me? It's not like I'm a quarterback or a running back. I'm a kicker. For fuck's sakes, man. Like, just let me be.
Yeah. So, doesn't matter. It's all about getting that ball.
it's you got to do what you got to do. Right. So it's it was brutal. But here, did you watch the opening montage by Ron Howard?
No, I didn't actually.
Google or YouTube, and this is to all the viewers out there. If you didn't see this, I think this was probably the best part of Super Bowl 50. Is YouTube Ron Howard video montage Super Bowl 50? It's his introduction before the game. It's got Aerosmith "Dream On" playing in the background towards the end. You watch that, and you're like, "Holy shit, dude! That was better than the fucking game." It was awesome. It was pretty sweet. So watch, check it out. You got to watch the viewers watch that. It's Wet Embargo, Winter Celebratory Smokes, post Super Bowl 50. That's a wrap, ladies and gents.
See you in a couple weeks, folks.
Hasta luego.